Tech Talk on RNIB Connect Radio.
Hello and a very warm welcome in to Tech Talk from RNIB Connect Radio, our opportunity as blind and partially sighted people to get together each week and explore the world of technology. How's it going for you? If you've got a question or comment about anything you've heard on Tech Talk or something you would like to hear on Tech Talk, drop us a line, techtalk@rnib.org.uk, T-E-C-H-T-A-L-K @rnib.org.uk. This week, we'll be speaking with the team behind the accessible AI shopping assistant in a search. We'll be hearing about plans for the RNIB Northern Ireland Technology Fair 2025. Plus, we'll be finding out how to get the most out of the new live video feature from ChatGPT. That's all to come this time on Tech Talk. A very warm welcome in to our co-hosts this time, Callum Stoneman, Hubert Pavarkovich and Jackie Brown. Good to have you together once again. Callum, I'm going to come to you first. What's grabbing your attention from the world of technology this time?
So, you know, we've spoken about Good Maps before. This is the indoor navigation app. I've heard a lot about it and we've featured them on the show a few times. But up until recently, up until last week, I've never had the chance to actually play with it. I've been intrigued by how it works. I've loved the sound of it, but nowhere near me has had it up until now. So a few places across the Northwest, a few bus stations and train stations have now been added. I'm not going to go through the list of them because I don't think they've been formally announced yet. They are there and they're going to be launching a trial period soon. But one of them that is on there is Bolton Interchange, which is my local bus station. And I have to commute through there for work. I have to change between two buses and it's a nightmare to navigate. I've mentioned it on the show before, but they've added Good Maps there now. And I've only tried it once and it wasn't perfect, but I think a lot of that was just kind of needing to get used to the app. But overall, it's brilliant. I'm looking forward to being able to use this. I was able to navigate it independently for a change. So yeah, very, very nice.
And do you know how it works, Callum? It's using your camera.
That's the main kind of downside, is that you've got to be holding your phone out, which is not, you know, unique to Good Maps. Navilens is similar in that regard. Even if, you know, using something, because the way I used to do it was I'd just get Ira to help me. And up until recently with the Meta Ray-Bans, of course, you had to do that anyway. So I'm kind of used to that. The bit that took me some getting used to was when you first start, you've got to kind of pan the camera around to kind of show it where you are. And then it's almost like it looks around and then goes, ah, right, okay, you're here. So, you know, you need to go this way. And that just took a bit of getting used to, just kind of making sure I went kind of left and right and, you know, kept it consistent.
Yeah, that's the bit I always struggle with, Callum. I've tried Good Maps in a few places and it is that just getting on the, you know, getting the app to recognise exactly where, once it's on and running and working and all that kind of stuff, then it's all right, you know, and you get good information about where things are, quite, you know, precise detail. But just that getting started, and I always have that kind of moment of, I don't want to say anxiety, that's perhaps overstating it, but I always think, oh, is it worth the hassle getting through that, you know? I just need to get to, I'll just ask somebody.
Well, this was the mistake that I made, and this is on me. I used it in production, so I had about 10 minutes to get from one bus to another, and that was my first attempt at trying it out, which I really shouldn't have done. I should have gone down there while I had a bit of free time to, you know, properly play with it. But yeah, I mean, getting that starting point can be tricky, but once you get going, it's quite incredible how much detail you get and how precise it is.
Well, we're relieved that you made it back to the studio, Callum, and you're not still lost in a bus station. And let us know if you've tried Good Maps. Indoors, outdoors, or anywhere else. Hubert, what's new with you?
I've used Good Maps to find bananas in a supermarket once, and it was quite successful when you eventually got it started. Anyway, speaking of technology, I have been purchasing some new tech. I have decided to purchase the OpenCom headset for the office, which is a Bluetooth bone conduction headset that you can use with, well, technically your computer or any other device, which has a microphone attached to it as well. So instead of kind of isolating yourself from the office while having to use a headset at the same time, I can use bone conduction too. So that's been my latest tech purchase, which I'm currently waiting to receive.
Ah, so you'll be able to hear when somebody's getting a round of drinks in.
Yes, someone's hopefully offering coffees and maybe a biscuit on the side.
There you go. Excellent. Well, it's always latency is my main metric with those Bluetooth headphones. You know, how responsive is it with this screen reader? Jackie?
Yeah, I would agree with that. Actually, I just use at work just a normal Plantronics wired headset because I think it's, well, touch wood, it has never failed me in that sense. So that's what I stick with. But what have I been playing with this week? I now have Teams up and running on my business laptop because I have a laptop for work, obviously, and I have a business laptop for my own little business that I run. And I was having all sorts of issues with Teams on this laptop. And I purchased a subscription for Microsoft Office 365 Business Standard, but I just could not get it to link to Teams. And I know this is a really big issue for a lot of people. It's amazing what I've read recently about people who've had this issue with Teams and Office. There are different versions, of course, of Office. There are different plans, and therefore you have to be careful what version of Teams you download. But I did download it from my admin page on my Microsoft Office subscription website. So you would have thought that it would be compatible and that it would work. But oh no, it didn't. So I had to call Microsoft Accessibility in the end. I got somebody in the office to have a look at it, but we couldn't work out why it wasn't playing ball. And in the end, I did call Microsoft Accessibility. And I'd like to give these guys a good shout out because, you know, they were really helpful. The guy actually did solve the problem. He discovered that the Teams version I had wasn't the one that I needed for Microsoft Office Business Standard. So he uninstalled it and he got the right version for me. And I'm now up and running and I can make my appointments throughout Look, which is what I wanted to do. But they are really quite good. They use Quick Assist if you want them to go into your computer. Quick Assist, you just type into your search on Windows, Quick Assist, and it'll come up no problem. And you allow them then to go in. There's a code number that they give you. You type that in and you have to give them permission, you know, all the permissions that go with that. And once you do that, they can then take over your computer. I was able to hear everything because obviously at my end, I had JAWS running and it was really interesting and I was on the phone with the guy as well. So if anybody does have an issue with a product on their computer, it's a good idea to call Microsoft Accessibility because, you know, they are helpful, and if they don't know about their products, then I suppose nobody else is going to.
So that was the Microsoft Disability Answer Desk, Jackie, and you contacted them over the phone. They're available on other platforms as well. I think you can get to the Disability Answer Desk, can't you, through Be My Eyes?
Yeah, you can. I just did it because I've got a phone number in my contacts on my iPhone, and I just called them on my landline phone. Actually, it's an 0800 number, but I thought it would avoid any dropout of signal or anything like that. So it was a very good experience, and I would urge people, if you have a problem and you're not getting anywhere, to do give them a call because they are very helpful.
All right. Well, let us know what your experience has been with Microsoft's Disability Answer Desk, Bluetooth headsets, or even finding your way with Good Maps. techtalk@rnib.org.uk. Callum, Hubert, Jackie, thank you very much. Stick around. It's another Tech Talk.
Now, we have mentioned InnerSearch during some of our lead-up to Christmas episodes when we talked accessible shopping, as this is an accessible shopping platform. But what is it exactly? And, well, it'd be good to get some more details onto it. Joining us is one of the co-founders of InnerSearch, Patrick Long. Patrick, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, happy to be here. Thanks so much for the opportunity, Hubert, to share InnoSearch with your community.
Let's talk about InnoSearch then. It's quite a unique platform and a unique experience. Can you tell us a little bit about what InnoSearch is and how it came about?
I mean, InnoSearch is very simply an accessible e-commerce platform made specifically for the blind and visually impaired. So when you navigate to InnoSearch.ai, you're able to find billions of products across over 500,000 retailers, everything from your Amazons to your Walmarts, you know, lots of stores, you know, Under Armour, lots of brands. We basically carry it all. And InnoSearch, you can think of is as an accessibility layer that works on top of all these individual retailers. So we are a one-stop shop. You never need to go to Amazon directly. You never need to go to Walmart directly. Everything, all the items, you can search all from our search bar and go through the entire checkout flow all on InnoSearch. And the experience is guaranteed 100% accessible. So very easy to use with your screen reader. We have an AI assistant that can help you understand your products more. And you can see each and every product image properly described with alt text. So it's truly a one-stop shop made specifically for the blind and visually impaired. Best of all, we offer free delivery and free returns up to 30 days on all our orders. And we guarantee every purchase 100% satisfaction.
So let's find out more about certain aspects of how InnoSearch works. Do you need to have individual accounts with the various shopping providers in order to use InnoSearch and then sign in with individual accounts for different companies? Or do you just need one account?
No, that's the best thing about InnoSearch. It aggregates everything from every single retailer. And so you can shop with your Amazons, with your Walmarts, all on one account. So with an InnoSearch account, you're covered. You can go to Amazon, you can go to Walmart, you can get their products, and you don't need individual logins or individual accounts, all that stuff. It's all taken care of by InnoSearch.
So if you purchase, for example, from a retailer such as Amazon, can you access order history, for example, in the same way you would if you purchased directly from, in this case, Amazon for this example?
If you create an InnoSearch AI account, you can log in and we track all your orders placed through InnoSearch, not just from Amazon, but for any other retailer. We have over 500,000 retailers. We track all your orders so you can easily see what you've purchased, how much you purchased it for, you know, if you want to reorder the item. Everything is very accessible and convenient in your fingertips.
If other companies would like to be featured on your platform, how can they go about that? Or do you approach companies directly, or do they have to approach you?
No, they don't actually have to approach us. We use various technologies like AI, web scraping technologies, as well as various APIs around the net. And that's how we actually have over 500,000 retailers all on our website. So the retailer actually doesn't have to do anything. If they've been around for a while, they're on Google Shopping and other shopping aggregators, we're able to pull a lot of their items and list them directly on our site.
So what feedback have you had from customers so far that have used InnoSearch? Any particular comments that have stood out for you?
Feedback actually has primarily been positive. Something our users really enjoy are the AI to describe images, because alt text, as you probably know, not all websites are compliant and not all websites have the proper descriptions. So for somebody who is blind or low vision, they really need these descriptors to understand what it is they're purchasing. And on InnoSearch, all our product images have a description. We use AI to create these descriptions, and we also use AI to allow you to chat with each image. So if you're not really sure what the blanket looks like, right, what material it's made out of, what shade of color it is, you can really drill down, ask the right questions so that you can really understand what you're buying before it shows up on your doorstep and you're not surprised. So that's something that our users have really loved. And there are all, you know, a bunch of other features, but this is something that stands out.
You've mentioned the AI features quite a bit. How far can the AI kind of questions go? And do you have an AI assistant that can take you through the shopping process as well? Or does that have to be done manually using a screen reader?
Yeah, so the AI right now answers any question about any product. So the AI is trained on the product details from each product page at their particular retailer, as well as general web knowledge. So if you have any question about, say, the material, whether or not this material is durable, or what are the reviews, what is the size of the item, the weight of the item, the AI can very quickly fetch this information for you. So as a blind and low vision user, you don't have to clumsily navigate through the web page with your screen reader trying to find that exact detail. The AI does the hard work for you, identifies the information, and tells you. And that's another one of the great features that our users have raved about. Now, you mentioned having the AI walk through the whole sales process for you. So we're actually working on that right now. In fact, we plan on releasing it probably in the next couple of weeks, voice commands. So right now, you know, you have to use your screen reader to navigate through each element, but in the not so near future, you'll be able to actually, you know, announce what you'd like. So if you would want, say, a navy blanket or a orange blanket, these commands will be made to InnoSearch, and the AI will do the actions in the background for you. And when you're ready to check out, you could say something as simple as, I'm ready for checkout, or tell me what's on my cart, in my cart, you know, and it will recite back, you know, what's going on. So this is something we're very excited for, and we really think this could 10x the level of accessibility we have on our site, because now you're not limited to your knowledge of screen readers, you're not limited to using the keyboard, you can very simply just announce out what you're looking for. So stay tuned. I think in the next couple of weeks, we should have something to share.
I do want to focus on your future plans as well. Naturally, we've just talked about voice commands as one of your major upcoming features, and this using AI. But what other future plans have you got for InnoSearch? In which direction would you like to see this project head in the next, well, 12 months or so?
Yeah, I mean, InnoSearch really is the core focus of our company is really to empower those who are currently underserved and disconnected from the online world. And we really want to help those folks, you know, regain their independence, right? And really lots of confidence when they navigate the internet. So what I see in the next 12 months is we plan to release new features like the voice commands that I mentioned to really enable this independence and confidence, right? We think this can really 10x accessibility. And in addition, we also plan to expand the functionalities of InnoSearch. So right now, InnoSearch as it stands, you can shop from over 500,000 retailers, 500,000 stores, billions of products very quickly, you know, finding what you need and going to the checkout. We also have a flight booking service. So you're able to very quickly, again, type in your destination and you know, your origin and destination airports, and find the best possible flights for you. And we also take care of all the accessible booking, so you'll never need to leave our site. So in the coming year, we plan to investigate other offerings, right? They could be, you know, ride taxi booking. It could be ordering food, ordering groceries to your home. These are all interesting avenues that our users have mentioned to us that they are looking for. And we'll see how we can incorporate those into our service. So stay tuned for 2025. I think it's going to be an incredibly exciting year. We plan to really move quickly and get these to our community because we believe, you know, it's really very much needed.
At the moment, it is a website. Are there plans to make this into a smartphone app or simply something that can be available on other platforms outside of a web browser?
Yeah, so we actually have had a lot of feedback and users asking for this. Right now, again, it's just a web app. So you'll have to, you know, go to InnoSearch.ai to access our service. But in the future, we do plan to do an iOS Android application that will be native. You can just download directly from the App Store. But yeah, definitely in 2025, it's on the roadmap. So we'll try our best to make that happen for everybody.
That is brilliant. Well, before we let you go, Patrick, it would be good to let people try InnoSearch for themselves. You've just mentioned people can go to InnoSearch.ai. This is spelled InnoSearch.ai. If people would like to contact you or whether to give you feedback or to ask questions, where can they go to do that?
So InnoSearch, we are... Well, you know, we take care of our users. Again, like I said, we have a 100% satisfaction guarantee. So if you're, you know, unhappy in any way, we'll try our best to make you satisfied. So that could mean, you know, great customer service. We're easily found on support, support@InnoSearch.ai. Or if you want to just email me personally, I'm Patrick, P-A-T-R-I-C-K, at InnoSearch.ai.
Fantastic, Patrick. Well, we look forward to hearing more about how InnoSearch actually works with hopefully some demonstrations as well. But for now, we really appreciate you coming on. Patrick Long, one of the co-founders of InnoSearch. Thank you for joining us here on RNIB Tech Talk.
Now, as we know, AI is being updated and improved all the time. And one of the most recent trends from the last month or so is real-time video descriptions. So both ChatGPT, OpenAI, I should say, who developed ChatGPT, and Google have added live video descriptions, real-time video descriptions, to their respective AI offerings. So ChatGPT, in the case of OpenAI, as I said, and Gemini in Google's case. And of course, this has all kinds of interesting uses and interesting potential, at least for those of us who are blind or partially sighted, because we've been able to get image descriptions for a while, and we've been able to get video descriptions for videos that have already been recorded using the likes of PickyBot and SceneAI. But what you can do with these new features, in theory at least, is get real-time description. So you can just be moving your phone's camera around and asking it questions, and it can see your environment, it can tell you what's going on, and you can just talk to it normally, and it can describe whatever you need it to describe about your environment, can tell you what it can see. And this has the potential, obviously, to be incredibly useful. Now, I emphasize the word potential, and we're going to get into this in a minute once we've heard how these features work, but it's very much early days at the minute. But still, it's interesting. So Google's offering is via Google Gemini, and you can access it by going to aistudio.google.com/live in your browser. It's not in the Gemini app yet, at least not on iOS, although this is changing all the time, so that could have changed by the time you hear this. But right now, it's only available via the web browser, so you go to aistudio.google.com/live. And what you've got to keep in mind is that the AI Studio offering from Google is more aimed at developers than consumers. You can absolutely use this just as a regular customer, but there is some kind of technical information on there, especially if you go to the main aistudio.google.com site, because you can access it from there as well. You can go to that website and click on, I think it says stream real time or something like that, and that will take you to the live section. But really, I would just go straight to the, I would just do the /live at the end, and then you can get past all the technical info about the models you can use and getting your API key and all those kind of things, because you really don't need to. So the way this works, you go to that URL, aistudio.google.com/live. It will get you to sign in if you're not already. And then you're dropped onto a web page where you can select your camera and microphone, and then you can just chat to it. So I've opened up the site on my iPhone, which is what I'm going to use in a minute to test this out. Now, you can use it on your PC as well, but I would imagine the main use for this is going to be on your phone or on some sort of, you know, maybe a more portable device than a laptop. So I'm just going to go through briefly what we've got on this site. I'm not going to go through it in massive detail because, as I said, it can change, and there's also quite a few techie bits on here that you really don't need to play with. But there is something on here that I find quite interesting. So when you go to the page, this is what you've got. First off, if you navigate by headings, you've got a couple of instructions.
System instructions, heading. Talk to Gemini, heading. Start a real-time conversation using your microphone, heading. Show Gemini, heading. Use your webcam to share what you're looking at and get real-time feedback, heading. Microphone, description, start recording, button.
So that's the microphone button, and that will start just an audio conversation with Gemini. So that's the sort of thing that you might be familiar with already with the current Gemini and ChatGPT's voice mode, where it's not using your camera, it's just using the microphone and listening to what you're saying and responding to you. A bit like a voice call. And then the next option is camera.
Camera, description, select video source, pop-up button, menu pop-up.
And this is the button that will start a... just think of it as a video call, really. So that will start your camera recording, and it will also open up the microphone as well so you can talk to Gemini. But I find this quite cool. If we double tap on camera...
Front camera user, menu item.
We get the option of which camera to choose. So we've got front camera.
Back triple camera environment, menu item. Back dual wide camera environment, menu item. Back ultra wide camera environment, menu item. Back dual camera environment, menu item. Back camera environment, menu item. Back telephoto camera environment, menu item. Page menu, button.
So that's the end of these options. So we've got a bunch of options. It's not as simple as just front and back camera. You've actually got the option of which back camera you want to use. Now, I've got an iPhone 13 Pro, so the options you've got here may vary depending on what phone you've got. Well, they will vary. But in my case, obviously, there's quite a few different types of cameras built into the phone. And this is really kind of, this is different. Normally, and maybe I'm missing it, maybe it's more common than I think, but normally you've just got the option of front or back camera. You don't normally get this level of flexibility to choose which camera you want. I've only done limited testing with this, but I haven't really found a particular use case where, say, the back ultra-wide camera works better than the triple camera or the telephoto camera. But that's something that you could play with. If you're not getting the results that you want or the results that you think you should be getting, then try a different camera. Try different options. And the only other place that I've seen this level of flexibility is in the Aira app. If you go into Aira, before you make a call, if you click on Configure Devices, you've got a similar thing in there. You can choose which camera you want to use. But this Google Gemini Live Video and Aira are the only two places where I've seen this option, where you can actually choose, you know, you can drill down into the camera settings and choose which camera you want to use. Now, again, maybe it's common and I've just, you know, not seen it on my tech travels, but I find that really interesting. And I did wonder, by the way, if this works for external cameras, because I was thinking, ooh, if it gives us the option, maybe this would work on my Meta Ray-Bans. Maybe I could use the camera on there. And it doesn't work. So that excitement was short-lived. It only gives you the option of the cameras that are built into the phone. But anyway, that's enough waffling. That's basically how it works. You've got a microphone button to start an audio conversation, a camera button to start a video conversation. You select which camera you want to use, and then you're off. Basically, you can just chat to it and it can see your surroundings and tell you what you need to know. So let's put this to the test, shall we? I've got the aistudio.google.com website open. So first off, let's find that camera button.
Camera, description, select video source, pop-up button, menu pop-up. Front camera user, menu item. Back triple camera environment, menu item.
I tend to go with the back triple camera, just because it's the first option there and it seems to work. So I'm going to double tap that, and then it'll immediately connect me and start me talking to Gemini. So I'll double tap, and then I'll ask it what I need it to do, and we'll see what we get.
Front back triple camera environment, menu item, heading level one.
I'm completely blind and I'm just trying to organise some of the items in my freezer, and I'm not entirely sure what some of the items are. So when you see product packaging, could you just tell me what that product is?
Sure. The video shows the inside of a freezer.
Indefinite time.
Very dark shot with only a bit of light coming from the top. The inside of the freezer is textured with a rough and bumpy surface.
Speech off.
Are there any items inside the freezer you'd like me to identify?
Can you see a particular product?
Yes. The video shows a box of sweet and smoky barbecue chicken grills. The box also indicates that the chicken has no artificial colors or preservatives, and it is labeled as a value pack. Is there anything else I can identify in the video?
Okay, cool. Just keep monitoring the video, and then when you see a different product, just let me know, if that's all right?
Of course, I will keep monitoring the video and let you know if I see a different product.
Okay, what can you see now?
Video now shows a box of Carr's Pasties sausage rolls. The box states it's made with the finest British sausage meat and Carr's seasoning, all encased in puff pastry. Is there anything else I can describe about the box for you?
Not that particular box.
Okay.
Can you see
anything? The video now shows a blue countertop with a marble pattern. There is a white dish drying rack to the left, a black appliance to the right, and then a bag of something being brought into the frame from the right. Do you want me to describe the bag?
Yes, please.
The video now shows a close-up of a bag of what appears to be frozen French fries. The bag is yellow and white with orange graphics and a small green label in the center. It also has a partially visible QR code at the bottom.
Okay, I've stopped that there, and the way I stopped it was just by finding the camera button again and just double-tapping it, and it disconnects from Gemini and stops it listening and watching. So I think overall, as you could hear, it works well. I was trying not to talk too much and explain what I was doing, because it can get a bit confusing if you try and talk. It constantly thinks you're talking to it. So that's why I was trying not to say too much, but you could hear me obviously moving things around and bringing other things into focus. But it seems to work okay. The thing that I find is that no matter how much it says it's watching the video, it's monitoring the video, I'll let you know when something changes, you still have to prompt it, which could be an issue. But overall, it's not bad to say how early we are.
We've heard from Kay, who writes, "Hello, I really enjoyed Jackie's recent demonstration of the Orbit Speak. A few questions, though. So, Jackie, you ready?"
Yes.
Yeah, okay. First one, is the battery replaceable?
No.
There you go. Short and sweet. Has it got a good amount of charge, though, does it?
Yes. It's got about 15 hours usage in the battery, so I suppose it's like all things, depends how much you use it. I would say you probably have to send that in, though, to get the battery replaced.
Okay, and Kay also wants to know, does it read Daisy books?
It does, but I had never thought about the Orbit Speak being similar to the Victor Reader Stream, which is what you raise in your next question. I personally, and this is just, I know it's very subjective, but I personally think that the granularity of reading on a Victor Reader Stream is the best of all the bespoke equipment that you can use. I just think the granularity on the Victor Reader Stream has always been and continues to be really good. If you want to read by, you know, if you want just flick a couple of words backwards or forwards, or you want to jump, you know, with the various headings, page, phrase, all that. If your book supports that, I think it's really good at doing it. I had never thought of the Orbit Speak being like the Victor Reader Stream in comparison, but I guess in a way it is. The Victor Reader Stream is more compact, it's smaller, but saying that, I guess the Orbit Speak does do a lot of the things that the Victor Reader Stream does, and probably a bit more as well. I think the Bluetooth on it's very good if you want to pair a pair of headphones, or you want to pair it to an external speaker. You know, the Orbit Speak's really good. I don't rate the Bluetooth facility on the Stream particularly. So yeah, they are different animals. They have different purposes, but there are some distinct similarities.
All right. Hopefully that answers your question, Kay. We do appreciate your email and we do appreciate your answers, Jackie. We've also received an email from Joshua, who writes, "Hello there. I have a feature suggestion for iOS 18.3. As the iPhone supports the Welsh language, there should be voices for VoiceOver and Siri with commands in Welsh. I find that VoiceOver pronounces text in Welsh very strangely. Do any of you use multiple languages on your iOS devices?" Well, I don't, Joshua. Let's ask the team. Any of you guys use any other languages on iOS?
I do. And yes, I'm of Polish origin originally. So when I speak to or message my family back in Poland, for example, English voiceover doesn't handle it all that well. It sounds quite amusing, but definitely nothing for productivity's sake. So I do have a Polish voice added, which I switch to in the rota should I, for example, need to read a message in a different language. I don't really use... I don't know if Siri offers, I think it does offer multiple languages, I'm not overly sure, but I tend to mainly this be voiceover focused. I do have a Polish voice. If I have to use it to message, I then have a Polish keyboard, and all in general, it just makes it much smoother experience, really, because, yeah, otherwise it can be a bit tricky.
All right, and how do you find it? How's the quality, Hubert? Does the Polish work well?
I think it does. I think the quality is brilliant, and it kind of allows me to then seamlessly switch, because all I need to do is go to the rota, swipe up, change the voice, and then change it back to English. It's nice and quick, and I think that's what I really like about it. The voices are very clear. There's a choice of voices as well, so you can choose which suits you. You can adjust the speech rate for that particular voice. For example, for me, the English voiceover, which I use on a regular basis and the most often, that's quite fast. The Polish voice, I have it a lot slower because I find it harder to process, so I need it slowed down. But yeah, you can customize it to your heart's content, which I really like.
I had to go at making my own voice on iOS, and the less said about that, the better. It sounded like a depressed Australian. Callum Stoneman, anything to add to this?
Is that the personal voice that you've used to say?
That's the one. Wish I hadn't.
Still not had the time of day to try this because it's such a long process.
No, it's fine. It's fine, Hubert. You don't need to. It's fine.
Leave it.
I have heard someone that has tried it and it did sound very interesting.
Step away from the iPhone, Hubert.
Yeah, yeah.
Callum?
Yeah, I don't use multiple languages. I mean, if you've heard me talk on this show plenty of times, I'm not great with English. But I do use the new Voices rota that they've added, which is, it's not quite the same. You can use it for multiple languages, but I've got just multiple different versions of English voices because I've got my kind of everyday voice. I've got another version of that voice, which is a little bit slower for if I want to read quite a long article and I want to make sure that I process it. I've then got a voice called Tech Talk, which is set for a certain speech rate and a certain voice for recording demos. And it's made it a lot nicer to be able to just switch to them, whereas before you had to go in and actually, because you could only have one version of English UK, for example, you could only have one option there. So whereas now you can have multiple ones, so it saves me having to go into the settings and change the speech rate and think, what did I usually have it at for recording demos? Was it 50%? Was it 55%? Whereas now I can set those settings, just go to the rota, find the one that I want, and it's all just there ready to go. So yeah, not quite the same, but it's really good, is that new Voices rota in iOS 18.
Improved support for the Welsh language, says Joshua. Would like to see that in a future version of iOS. Thank you so much for getting in touch, and thank you, Callum and Hubert, for your experiences.
Time now on RNIB Connect Radio to talk AI, yes, again. And this time we're going to talk about something a little bit new that's been making waves around the AI world, and that is live video AI conversations. Now, what is this? Well, you may remember that last year in 2024, at one point we saw this great video of a visually impaired person standing on the street and speaking to his phone with AI telling him about a taxi approaching him and describing the scenery around him. And we all thought this is amazing. You know, we can't wait for this to become, you know, available to use for everyone. And it took a while, but it is now here, or certainly glimpses of it are. We're going to look at ChatGPT's voice mode with live video and do two things and see how it copes. So the first thing we're going to do is get ChatGPT to describe scenes around me, and I will then see how good it is at changing the descriptions based on what's going on live in front of the camera, see if it can do that. And then we're going to do some screen sharing to see if we can describe some photos.
ChatGPT. Switch to voice mode. Switch to voice mode button.
So I will be switching to voice mode, and from there on, we're going to be having the conversation with ChatGPT. We'll try to make it as natural as possible to give you an accurate reflection. So here we go.
Connecting. Speak now.
Hello, ChatGPT.
Hi there. How's it going?
Speak now.
Not too bad. Are you up for some fun?
Always. What's on your mind?
Speak now. Speech off.
I want to do a little bit of testing and see what you are truly capable of with this new feature with live video.
Sounds like fun. What would you like to test out first?
Open video camera. Switch button. On.
I'm going to ask you, what can you see?
I can see a keyboard and part of a desk. Are you testing how well I can describe what's in front of you?
What can you see now?
Now I can see a backpack on the floor near the desk. It looks like you're in an office or classroom setting.
What color's the backpack?
The backpack looks black or dark gray. It's a bit hard to tell the exact shade.
I'm going to do a little experiment and I will change what you can see in front of the camera. Are you able to then let me know if something changes?
Absolutely. Go ahead and move the camera and I'll let you know what I see.
Has anything changed?
Yes, the camera angle has changed. It looks like the backpack has moved a bit and I can see more of the wall and floor.
How comes you didn't tell me when I've moved it?
Sorry about that. I'll keep a closer eye next time. If there's something specific you'd like me to watch for, just let me know.
Let me know when the backpack returns into the camera focus.
Sure, I'll watch for it.
Has the backpack returned to the camera focus?
Yes, the backpack is now back in focus.
Speech on. Flip camera to the open video. Mute audio. Switch button. Off. On.
So as you can now tell, I've made some changes to what was in front of the camera, and although ChatGPT said they will keep an eye on if anything changes and update me, they haven't done that, so it doesn't really do updates of live changes in the camera view, as far as I'm aware from this one, which, well, I would say it's disappointing, but also it's a brand new feature, so technically it's something that could still come but hasn't come yet at the moment. I've muted my microphone now in ChatGPT so I can talk to you, but what I'm going to do next is enable screen share. Now, the first time you're going to do it, you have to go through some permissions, which is obviously understandable because you need to allow it to be able to share your screen and access what it can see and all that. And what we're going to do is go to some photos and see if it can describe some of the photos that I pick out, and we'll see what we can do. This is our next task. So I'll keep it muted for now because I want to actually enable the screen share without kind of talking.
More menu. Close, but more menu. Upload photo. Take photo. Share screen button. Everything on your screen, including notifications, will be recorded. Enable do not disturb. Screen curtain off. Screen broadcast. Heading. Selected. ChatGPT button. Start broadcast button. Start broadcast button.
Okay, we'll tap that.
3, 2.
So we are going to do a little experiment. I'm going to show you some photos, and I would like you to let me know what's on them.
All right, sounds fun. Go ahead and show me the first photo whenever you're ready.
What's on this photo?
This photo shows your phone's home screen with various app icons. There are some notification badges on the apps. Let me know if you need more details on any specific part.
What's in this photo?
In this photo, it looks like there's an app folder open on your home screen with several app icons inside. There are also some notification badges visible. Does that help?
How about this photo?
This photo shows a man sitting at a desk in a recording studio with a microphone and some equipment. There's also a dog near him. Is this what you wanted to know?
What does the dog look like?
The dog looks like a Labrador Retriever with a light golden coat. It's sitting attentively near the man. Is this Caesar?
It is indeed.
Caesar looks quite attentive and calm. Is there anything else you'd like to know about this photo?
What color is his collar?
It looks like Caesar's wearing a black collar. Is that correct?
No.
Oh, my mistake. Could you clarify what color it is?
It's red.
Got it. A red collar suits Caesar well. Anything else you'd like to know about the photo?
What does the man look like?
The man in the photo is wearing a light yellow shirt and has short hair. He's sitting at a desk in a recording studio smiling. Is there something specific you'd like to know about him?
Do you know what his name is?
I don't have that information. If you'd like to share, feel free.
It's me.
Oh, that's great to know. You look quite comfortable in the studio. Are you recording something special?
Yes, my radio show.
That's awesome. What's your show about?
Let's go back to the photo. Apart from the man and the dog, what else can you see in the picture?
In addition to you and Caesar, I can see recording equipment, like a microphone, a computer, and some other devices on the desk. It's a well-equipped setup.
What other devices can you see?
I can see a computer monitor, a keyboard, and some audio equipment. There's also a microphone on a stand. Does that cover it?
Has any of the microphones got branding on it?
I don't see any clear branding on the microphone from here. If there's a specific detail you're looking for, you might need to get a closer shot.
So I've currently ended the chat. My observation on that one is it did a very good job of not only describing the photos I was showing it, including accidental screenshots, but it does remember what you tell it. So I think I was doing another video chat while I was getting it to update me on the progress of my Windows updates on my work laptop. And while we were waiting for the updates to complete, I was showing ChatGPT my guide dog, Caesar the guide dog, of course. And I have told ChatGPT my dog's name. And it has, as you've heard, remember his name. Because, well, in the photo, it asked me, is that dog in the photo Caesar? So it does remember, and it does do a very decent job of describing various, you know, what I was wearing, what was around me. So that was pretty interesting. I quite like that. I'd be curious to see what else it can do in the future, but I think the glimpse into this is it's quite interesting. You have to make sure you update the app to the latest feature because at some stage that screen share feature was not working properly in the sense that it was sharing the screen and it said it was, but ChatGPT yet could not see my screen. So an update has fixed that issue. And as of this recording, it is definitely working as you have heard. So there you go. I've showed you in this demo a little bit about kind of how ChatGPT deals with live changes in front of the camera. Answer is not there yet, unfortunately, but hopefully that will come in the future. And also ChatGPT describing me a few photos that I've taken and randomly chose to show it. So let me know what you think. Do you fancy giving this a try? If you do, let us know how you get on.
Right, we've heard both of them now, the Google AI Studio and the ChatGPT sort of video mode that you can use. Callum, Hubert, join me now. So, gentlemen, what would you say are the main benefits, advantages, use cases? Why would we want to use this?
Personally, for myself, I can't really see a use case for this just yet, other than maybe if you're... Say you're sorting through a bunch of products, you know, say you're putting your shopping away, for example, and you just want to know what things are and you want to maybe get the storage instructions of something. It is a bit easier to have that there and you can just say, you know, what is this? And you can just talk to it and ask it what you need to know rather than having to be on something like Be My Eyes or Seeing AI where you've got to kind of press a button or, you know, do something on the app to get it to take the picture and provide you the description. Whereas with that, you could set it going and then just leave it running and just talk to it when you need to. I think that's the main advantage at the minute. But that's, I mean, there's going to be massive advantages to this if it becomes properly live. But I've got a feeling at the minute, I'm questioning how live it actually is. You know, is it doing real-time video or is it just responding when you speak to it? I think it's responding when you ask it something. Although they say it's live video, I think it's just kind of taking a snapshot when it thinks you want to know something.
Yeah, I'd agree with that because I think, you know, as you've heard in my observation there, it wasn't really updating live as to what it was seeing when I was making changes. So, yeah, I think there's it has a lot of potential at the moment, but I think if, the way it is right now, there's only certain use cases. The other one, as I mentioned in the demo, was when you're looking at a display or a screen of any kind and there's no speech on the device you're using, so you kind of want to know what's on the screen, which can happen on computers sometimes when JAWS refuses to speak or stopped working. You kind of want to know what's on the screen, and I found it did a good enough job at saying, oh, your computer's doing updates, and to which I thought, that's why JAWS, for example, may not want to run at the moment. So it has certain use cases for now that it can be used with, but at the moment, still a bit limited, but I always kind of see it as, you know, it's progress, it's a new feature, there's a lot of potential, let's see how it grows, kind of thing.
Would either of you say there are any particular advantages of using, you know, the ChatGPT over the Google or the other way around?
I don't think so at this point, to be honest. I think they're both pretty similar. But, I mean, very early days at the minute. These were released probably about a month ago, and it says everywhere that it's still beta, it's still early days, it's still very much, you know, an early kind of testing phase. So I think at the minute, I really can't see much difference between the two. One thing that I didn't mention in my demo as well is that if you're using a computer for the Google Gemini version, you can share your screen as well. You can't do that on the phone, certainly not on iOS. Maybe you can on Android, I'm not sure. But you can share your screen and get it to describe what's on your computer screen as well. Now, it can't control anything, but it can tell you what's there, so that could be useful.
Yeah, I've used the screen share feature, and I found that really quite interesting because I like that it could describe what was on my screen. I found that I did have to, as I mentioned, update the app because at one point it was showing that I was sharing the screen, but ChatGPT was saying it can't see my screen, which I found a bit strange. So then I updated the app and done it, and it did work, so that might be worth keeping in mind. But other than that, I find that quite useful if you want to get description of whatever is on your screen. I'd be interested to see if at any stage it will be able to actually control what's on your device if you allow it. I don't know if that will ever reach that stage, but if it does, that could be game changing.
And did you subscribe, Hubert? Because I think, is it right to say that the video offering from ChatGPT is part of the £20 a month subscription?
Correct, yes. And I have subscribed purely just for... When I subscribed, that feature was not even available. But I subscribed because it allows me to use kind of the latest models, and I found it works better because it gives me more up-to-date information. Whereas when I was using the free version, the information I was given was quite outdated. So that was a bit frustrating. So I have subscribed because I use it enough to also justify that payment.
Right, so they would be the two main differences, I guess, then, so far. Screen sharing on iOS and the cost of the subscription.
Yeah, they're the main differences, because Google, you don't have to subscribe. Google's offering is free. But, yeah, apart from that, pretty similar. I mean, I see a lot of people online on social media trying this out while they're out and about and saying, oh, well, could this be used for, you know, could this be used for mobility? Could it tell me when obstacles are, when I'm approaching an obstacle or something's in the way? Maybe at some point, but we are way off that yet. I mean, it's nowhere near. Yeah, definitely not trust it. But I mean, maybe, yeah, at some point.
I'm a bit anxious about that. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't know if I'd trust it much because, you know, when you're out and about, sometimes nothing can beat the old-fashioned, old-school mobility skills.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's never going to replace the core skills.
Absolutely right, yeah, yeah. So let us know, have you tried either of these video services or perhaps something else? We'd love to hear from you. TechTalk@rnib.org.uk. Callum, Hubert, thanks a lot. If you are a regular listener, you may be aware that RNIB's Northern Ireland Technology Fair is returning this February. And here to tell us more is Joe Kenny, who is a PR officer working with RNIB in Northern Ireland. Welcome into Connect Radio, Joe. This is the second Northern Ireland Technology Fair. Tell us a bit more about that. Why did you think you needed to bring it back?
Well, thanks, Dave. Thanks for having me on. We're very excited about the second year of our technology fair. I suppose the initial idea, came from the kind of, we were very aware, certainly since COVID and all the lockdowns and all that sort of thing, that face-to-face events had sort of had been diminished, obviously. And so what better way to get everybody back together and get everybody sort of meeting up in the one place, having a bit of a social time and exploring technology than have a big fair, a big exhibition in a big room somewhere in Northern Ireland. So that's what we started to do. Last year we had it in Belfast in the Europa Hotel, which was a roaring success. I mean, I think at one point I think we counted there was over 400 people through the door over the course of the day, which was really unprecedented. We were hoping for a couple of hundred, and we got like way more than we thought. So, I mean, it made sense to do it again and just do it bigger and better. Learn from last year, take on board some feedback, and just do it again. And we're doing it this year in Lisburn, which is just outside Belfast, in the Lagan Valley Island. It's a massive, big sort of modern centre with all the modern things you expect from an exhibition centre. You know, level access. We've got a loop system for deaf, hard of hearing people. We've got all sorts of fancy things, and we're very excited about it.
As you say, it's an opportunity to get face to face and hands on with technology. What can visitors expect this time around?
Lots of tech, lots of tech suppliers and manufacturers in the one room showing their wares, and more than willing to sit down and talk with you one to one about what they've got and how to use it. I'm very keen that we sort of stress the point, whether you're new to technology, or even if you fear technology, if you're a technophobe or if you think it's not for you, you're more than welcome. I guarantee that your mind will be changed by some of what you see at the tech fair. Also, if you're a tech whiz, if you think that you know it all, and sometimes I do too, and you want to find out about the latest updates, the latest, you know, what's out now this year, come along. You're bound to find something that is up your street. Also, it's not just sort of technology. It's also like there's a local charities there too. We've got like, well, obviously RNIB, we've got Guide Dogs, we've got Macular Society, we've got a local local group that offer technology advice. We've got Angel Eyes NI, we've got Empathize, Macular Society, we've got all that stuff too as well. But the main emphasis is on technology, and that can go from low tech, as we might call it, like canes, for example, magnifiers, even like bump-ons, that kind of thing, all the way through to your high-tech, you know, your video magnifiers, your computer-based software, all that kind of thing.
Right, so the exhibition is really the heart of it, everything from magnification, audio products, and Braille is going to be a big focus this time around.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, Dave. Yes, we're in the middle of Braille 200, 200 years of Braille. And I think sometimes we say that and we don't maybe stop and appreciate 200 years of Braille is quite a thing. So that would be a centre theme of our tech fair. We're going to have RNIB's Braille Heritage exhibition front and centre. They'll be there all day. There'll be all the bits and pieces that they're bringing, and there'll be plenty of talk about Braille. We really want to sort of celebrate Braille, if you like, and use that opportunity to do that.
Those heritage items are fascinating, and often in Northern Ireland, you might not have had that opportunity to get hands-on with some of the reading and writing equipment from the 19th century, and really exploring how Braille equipment evolved through the centuries. And of course, there will be the latest innovations as well, multi-line devices and tactile graphic devices as well. And this event, Joe, and we'll get into the dates and the addresses and all of that in a sec, is happening the day after the Braille and Beyond Library Tour visits Lisbon as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's going to be on the 25th of February in the Lisbon Library. We're looking forward to that too. Sort of double whammy, if you like. You've got the Braille and Beyond event on the 25th, and then we've got our tech fair on the 26th, both in Lisbon. And not to be missed, I would say.
And in addition to the exhibition, are you planning any presentations alongside that?
Yes. So alongside the exhibition, which is free to attend, and it's literally, you know, if you imagine, you come along and you walk into this massive big hall, and you please yourself, basically. You wander around and you see what's on show. Going alongside that, then, we've got a whole program of what we're calling Tech Talks, which are literally that. They're sort of specialised talks by invited guests on all sorts of things. And they'll be in a separate room, nicely kind of organised and with sound systems and all sorts of stuff. So a bit of feedback we had from last year was that we tried to do the tech talks in the same room as the exhibition, and we felt that that was just too much, basically too much noise going on at the one in the one space. So this is a lovely plush room. We've got a series of talks running all day, and again, they're free to attend. You literally turn up and you look at the program of events, and you pick the one you want to go in. You can just sit there all day if you like and go to them all, if that's what you want to do. We've got talks on Braille, people who use Braille, what they use it for, the comparison between Braille sort of in years gone by compared to what people might use to read and write now today. We've got a talk on AI, artificial intelligence, and how we might use that in our daily life. We've got a talk from the Education Authority on the kind of technology that is available for blind and partially sighted kids in school. We've got a talk on VI gaming. That's going to be fascinating. We're kind of looking forward to that one. All the developments that's been made in that field. And then we've got a great talk on NaviLens, which some listeners may know. The kind of digital signage, as they call it. There's a guy coming over from Spain to give us a talk on that. So there's loads of... I think there's something for everybody. Well, we hope there is anyway.
So the RNIB Tech Fair in Northern Ireland is taking place on the 26th of February, Joe?
Yes, it's Wednesday the 26th of February from 11 a.m. all the way through to, 4:30. They've told us we have to be out by 5. So, 4:30, 11 a.m. to 4:30. It's 26th of February. It's a Wednesday. We thought that was the best day. Never do an event on a Monday or a Friday. That's what I was always told. So it's a Wednesday. And it's a day after the being with the Braille and Beyond event in the Lisburn Library as well.
And is there a web page or somewhere where we can find out more information?
There's all sorts of ways you can find out more. If you want to know more detail from the guys over here in Northern Ireland, the best bet is to just drop an email to rnibni@rnib.org.uk and we'll come back to you straight away. You can contact the RNIB helpline on 0303 123 9999 and they'll be able to direct your query and tell you all about it. You can find us on Facebook. There's a Facebook event which we're quite active at the moment. We're having a bit of chat about different suppliers. You can go there onto the RNIB Northern Ireland Facebook page. You can also just search on the RNIB website as well. Just type in the sort of tech fair and it should pop up. We've got an info page on there as well.
Excellent. And I'm sure Connect Radio will be there bringing coverage from the day.
Oh, yes, they will. Yeah, absolutely.
Anything I've not asked you, Joe, that you wanted to add?
Just that to the guys over in Northern Ireland, we'll be having, there is a limited bus service as well for some of the harder to reach areas. There's going to be a shuttle bus from the train station in Lisburn or the bus station to take you right to the door of the exhibition centre. I mean, quite frankly, I think it'd be harder not to go.
There you go. There you go. And do people need to register? Is it just turn up on the day?
Believe it or not, no. No, we're not asking people to register. You literally, we're hoping people just come along and you just register on the day. We are going to be launching our RNIBNI newsletter, which is something that's new to us anyway, on the day. So that's something you can register for, which will keep you up to date with the goings on over here in Northern Ireland. And that's something we're quite excited about. But in terms of the event, no, you just turn up. You can bring a friend, partner, husband, wife, kids, whatever you want to do. Bring everybody and you'll be very, very welcome.
There we are. Date for the diary, the 26th of February 2025 in Lisburn for RNIB Tech Fair Northern Ireland. Joe Kenny, PR officer with RNIB in Northern Ireland. Thank you so much for joining us here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you, Dave.
That's it from Tech Talk this time. Really appreciate your company as ever. If you have a comment, question or anything else, then do get in touch. A voice note or a good old-fashioned email to techtalk@rnib.org.uk. Thank you very much for that. And thank you to our co-hosts, Callum Stoneman, Hubert Pavalkovic and Jackie Brown. Until next time, bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
See you next time.
Bye-bye.